Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca IFIS first quarter 2019 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Luciano Colombini, CEO of Banca IFIS. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Luciano Colombini. I'm here with Martino Dario, the head of investor relations, and Cristina Taormina, the CFO of the bank. Welcome to our call on first quarter 2019 results. Today, the board of directors under the chairman of Mr. Sebastian Fustenberg approved the first quarter results. First of all, I want to take the opportunity to introduce myself as new CEO of Banca IFIS. In coming months, we will organize road shows in Italy, London and New York, and I'll be very happy to meet you in person. I'm obviously enthusiastic of joining this dynamic and profitable bank, and I will put all my efforts to grow our business while maintaining our innovative and unique model. The growth strategy is confirmed alongside the main business lines. The first, growing in NPL, which is a core business for us, and we will continue to invest in it. We are the number four Italian NPL business by GBV in terms of purchasing and servicing capabilities. We are currently participating in all the ongoing disposal process of unsecured tickets, part of which have the binding files in second quarter. We are streamlining the recovery strategy, leveraging also on Capital Fin, which offers wage against one-fifth of the salary, and FBS, with strong know-how in secured and unsecured corporate NPL. The NPL market is changing, driven by consolidation, new regulation, amounts, types, vintage of the NPLs to be sold. There will be greater focus on NPL recovery capabilities that will represent the key competitive advantage going forward. In terms of recovery, we have a sound industrial machine. There are several ongoing strategic initiatives which we expect will bring some benefit when they come to fruition. We are specialized in unsecured tickets, and with FBS, we have broadened our expertise to unsecured and secured corporate NPL. Second point, broaden lending and services to SMEs, leveraging the unique and diversified business model of the bank. We will be selective in lending with a prudent approach toward asset quality and taking into account client and business diversification to reduce concentration risk. We will broaden our product offer to SMEs, rental in leasing, value-added credit servicing in factoring, corporate finance. Point three, we will be more focused on capital management and on cost saving. In first quarter, the CET1, including the 41 million goodwill of FBS, came in at 10.29%. The CET1 pro forma for the first quarter net income was 10.37%. It's important to say that there is a sound buffer versus our SREP level of 8.12%. In the future, there will be more focus on cost control after the growth and acquisition from 2015 to 2018. We will continue to strong investment in IT digitalization and in our NPL recovery process. In terms of first quarter results, we reported net income of 30 million, exactly in line with our expectations. It is worth noting that in first quarter, some variable items came in lower than previous quarters. The contribution from PPA came in at 70 million versus 31 million in fourth quarter 18 and 22 million in first quarter 18. First quarter 19 and fourth quarter 18 results include the negative effects of NPL's model update made in the first quarter 18 to consider longer time frame for the issuance of court injunction. In Italian we say precetto and pignoramento. This effect was negative for 9 million in first quarter of this year. The appendix, in order to provide greater transparency, you may find more information about the accounting of NPL business. First quarter results include less 4.7 million fair value adjustment for an equity instrument stemming from debt restructuring. Operating costs came in at 74 million, including the consolidation of FBS. As I mentioned before, there'd be a greater focus in this component without impacting the investments to back our growth. We had resilient funding with about 5 billion retail deposit, which represent over 60% of our funding base. In first quarter, we attracted about 0.35 billion new deposit, driven by the new campaign of RendiMax term deposits, mainly focused on 2 years and 5 years maturity. We plan to renovate our RendiMax product in order to make it more attractive to depositors. In conclusion, I would like to highlight that I have found a profitable bank with sound fundamentals, well-capitalized, active in a very attractive business segment. We will continue to focus our business on growth and innovation. The majority shareholder has communicated that we will support the strategy and the growth of the bank. Now we leave the word to Martino to describe the details of our results.
Hello, good morning to everybody. So let's focus on page 4 of our Q1 presentation. I of course make reference to the presentation that you should have received or you can find on our website. In terms of net banking income, They came in at 130 million euros, and the distribution is somehow consistent with the previous quarters. 48% from non-performing business, 30% from trade receivable, 10% from leasing, and another 10% from corporate and others, and this item includes the PPA. The operating cost came in at 74 million euros, and this including the consolidation of FBS. The cost of risk came in at 13 million euros, and you remind that in 2018 we experienced several one-offs on the construction sector. Of course, this cost of risk of 13 million euros, the evolution of this cost of risk will depend also on the macroeconomic environment. If the macroeconomic remains at this level, of course, we can somehow remain about this level. If macro deteriorates further or there is a significant company having issues, can increase. You know, that it's too early to make an assessment. In terms of customer loans, they came in at 7.3 billion euros, and trade receivables were flat, simply because, and leasing were flat as well, because of the strong seasonality in Q4. Regarding non-performing loans, they were somehow flat because that there were not several transactions of non-performing in this quarter, but you know, there are some ongoing transactions at which we are actively participating. As the CEO was saying before, we focus on unsecured tickets because we believe that we have a very strong competitive advantage in the sector, and that's what we look at. Regarding the non-performing business, the ERC came in at 2.4 billion euros, and the funding benefit from the Rendimax campaign. We increased our customer deposits by about 350 million euros, and about more than 300 came out from the Rendimax campaign. And in terms of CET1, 10.29%. I would like to focus on just two items. The first is some items that, as the CEO was describing, they came in, let's say, lower in this quarter compared to the previous quarter. So you can see that the fair value adjust, I'm looking at page 5, where we summarize this item in a table. And you see that there is the contribution of FBS. This contribution of 8.2 million euros includes some, let's say, some extraordinary items linked to the business of a few millions. The fair value adjustments that you see, it's 4.7 million euros, is just linked to one single position and the write-off of the equity instruments stemming from debt restructuring. In Italian, we call strumenti finanziari partecipativi. And it can be considered a non-recurring item. The model update that you can see, minus 6 million in Q4 2019, minus 9 million in first quarter 2019, we update our model on a yearly basis, and of course we check it on a monthly basis. And so the item is somehow recurrent, but the amount will vary quite a lot depending on the time frame of the courts, okay, on the execution of the time frame on the courts. Let's move to page eight, which is regarding regards our the capital, and the CET1 came in at 10.29%. which is somehow stable quarter on quarter, despite the full consolidation of FBS, which had a negative impact of around 46 bips, 41 million euros. And this is also due to a combination of the realization of DTAs and lower risk-weighted assets, which increased the CET1 by 19 bips. And also due to the change in the capital conservation buffer, which reduced the excess capital and brought the capital in at the CET1 up by 26 basis points. Of course, this 10.29 does not include the equity of the first quarter. We have some items which will increase the CET1 going forward, which are for sure. The first is return earnings. We are a profitable bank. We expect to remain profitable in the future. There is the progressive winding down of the PPA for my Interbanca, which still amounts to 213 million pre-tax at 31st March 2019. We have the progressive use of the DTA. There are 135 million euros of DTA still, and we expect to use them. Of course, the use of this DTA will depend on the profit, but you can assume that about 30%, of course, the tax rate is 30%, and we will use accordingly. So the 30% of the profit will reduce the DTA and the deduction from the CET1. And then we have the ordinary wind down of the Interbank and business and of other items. Then let's move to page 11, where you can see trade receivable. We have the turnover up 19% year-on-year, but 10% down quarter-on-quarter, and this because the fourth quarter was significantly impacted by seasonality. The net banking income divided average customer loans came in at 4.8%, so there is a decrease in this ratio, and this is mainly due to the lower contribution from pharma and a few large clients, mainly due to seasonality. Then what I would like to stress is that our business is somehow, there are several items which can come up slightly higher or slightly lower quarter on quarter. So somehow it's, and this is impacted either by the seasonality or by, for example, the non-performed updates on financial model. But so that's why this, let's say, this decrease. On the leasing, the new leasing came down minus 4% year-on-year, minus 19% quarter-on-quarter, and this was again was impacted by seasonality. We performed better than the market in automotive leasing. We were down 15% quarter-on-quarter, while the market was down more than 45%. 46% in the first quarter 19 due to the slowdown in the market. I would like to stress that here we are very disciplined in lending. We try to lend only where we have third-party contracts for remarketing, off return leasing, and rentals. So this provides a clear some, let's say, buffer in terms of recovery estimates, okay? In terms of the non-performing business, let's move to page 13. The ERC came, we performed limited acquisition, so our gross book value increased mainly due to the acquisition of FBS. There are several processes ongoing. We are participating in all this process. Some are coming from the primary market, so the disposal either from consumer finance business or from banking. Others are expecting to occur or occurring in the secondary market as some operator will look for a more specialization in a specific sector and will try to sell part of their portfolio. Of course, we acquire the portfolios in which we have historical evidence and capabilities. The key driver for the profit in this segment is mainly ability of recovery. And let's move to page 14. The ERC came up at 2.4 billion euros. We also provide the background, the breakdown of the ERC. You see that it's coming from mainly from extraordinary judicial positions and also from the juridical part. So all that count for about 1.4 billion out of 2.4. The ERC, in terms of time frame, the ERC is mainly focused in the first 5 years, where we expect about 1.4 billion euros cash in the next 5 years. So this can count on average for about 0.3 billion euros expected cash per year, per annum. I would like also to stress that our ERC is based on experience, recovery, modeling. Since 2014, we have cashed in, either to recovery or to disposal, about 0.75 billion, billion euros, or 750 million euros. Okay? In page 15, we show the evolution of the gross book value. As you see, in terms of judicial recovery, the voluntary plans grew up steadily each quarter, and they're up 5% versus the previous quarter. In terms of judicial recovery, you see the increase in the gross book value of the order of assignments, You can see also the increase in the secure and corporate, and that there is also a big jump due to FBS. But you see that we are growing at about 5 to 6% in terms of gross book value. And I would like to also to point your attention to the freeze amount, which is 1.8 billion euros. These are ongoing processing. They are not yet in advance legal process, but they will move, part of them, we expect to move towards ODA or secured and corporate, and be the base for the future cash flows of the coming quarters. Finally, on page 15, I would like also to stress that there is a comparison between the model, which is the gray line, and the actual cash recovery. And you see that our actual cash recovery, which is the red line, came in slightly above our always slightly above our expectations. And on page 16, as the CEO was saying, the cash recovery is not so distant from the contribution to P&L. In Q1 was about 87%, in Q4 and Q3 79 and about 100%. It was 60% and 73% in first quarter 2018 and second quarter 2019, simply because we updated our models. But then there is no great difference between the cash recovery and the P&L contribution. We point in the appendix, I don't want to go in detail in the presentation, but in the appendix you can find, all the details for our accounting, and of course for any question will be at your disposal afterwards. In terms of cost, we move to page 17, okay? You see that cost came up by about 10 million euros and 3 million due to the about 2.9 million due to the consolidation of FBS. Then there are 3.4 million due to the resolution fund and 2.5 million due to higher legal costs, mainly due to the non-performing business. Of course, the cost income ratio came in at 57%, and this is a contribution of slightly higher cost, slightly higher revenues. But as the CEO was pointing out, there will be a continuous focus on the cost base and, of course, on the revenue base. Finally, we would like to stress on page 20 the final messages before opening to Q&A. So we have a sound growth perspective. The order of assignments are, in terms of gross book value, are up 5% quarter on quarter. The secure and corporate 6% quarter on quarter. There is another 1.8 billion not yet processed, but just the starting of this of the legal action. The trade receivable and leasing are showing a relatively stable revenue contribution, and there is a strict monitoring of the loan loss provision. You see some stabilization of this category. As a result, net income 30 million euros. Contribution of the PPA, pre-tax, 17 million euros in the first quarter, so pre-tax, post-tax, you should deduct 35%. CET1, 10.3%, and this is expected to grow in the coming quarters due to net income generation and the reversal of the PPA. Finally, I would like also to stress, when we speak about the non-performing and the cost, that we expense, and you will see in the details in the appendix, we expense all the legal costs as the court proceeding goes on. So this allows that large part of the recovery cost connected to the future cash-in are already expenses in our P&L items. So we will open to the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Andrea Lisi of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for the call. Several questions from my side. First of all, I want to ask you whether do you have any news on the alternative project to the reverse merger with La Scogliera that can release some 300 basis points of capital. Then I want to ask you, in light of the first quarter result, if you confirm the target you provided at the end of the full year 2018 of net income in the range between 140 million, 160 million, and also if you can provide a guidance in terms of PPA and loan loss provision. And in terms of loan loss provision, how do you see the quality of your NPL portfolio? Do you think you have some concentration issue in trade receivables that could create some issues in terms of further loan loss provision in the next quarters? And last one on capital, on the CET1, you said that you expected to see it growing in the next quarters. I want to ask you which is the level with which you will be comfortable and with which you will be happy. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go on.
The reverse merger with La Scogliera was considered for some potential transaction, which eventually were not carried on. The bank has now a CET1 of 10.3%, with a sound buffer, as I said before, versus the 2019 SREP of 8.12%. I can say that the controlling shareholder has confirmed his full support to the growth of the bank. So, about the second question, about the asset quality, I think that there is, based on my preliminary analysis in these first days, there is no need of any extraordinary write-offs or any cleanup in the asset quality of the bank. Obviously, there is in this bank a complex business that grew up very quickly in few years, and so Banca IFIS needs more cost control, streamlining of the organization, and the integration of different subsidiaries, which are many in this moment. About the results of the first quarter, as I said, they are in line with our expectation. Obviously, the ability to deliver our targets at the end of the year will depend on the macroeconomic scenario and on our ability to streamline the NPL recovery process through some strategic actions that we have already planned. The time frame and the results of this new action is the key for the achievement of the guidance. About the CET1, we expect that the CET1 has bottomed in the first quarter and will start growing in the coming quarters. For the numbers, we have to wait for the business plan, and I hope that we will be ready to explain the business plan in 3-4 months.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
Okay.
The next question is from Emanuela Meroni of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening.
The first question is on the model update that had the negative impact on your revenues in fourth quarter 2018 and first quarter 2019. It's the second consecutive quarter with a negative impact. So, as I understood, that this is related to a longer time frame for the precetto impignoramento. I'm wondering if we can see a trend here, and therefore if we can expect a further negative impact from the model update in the next few quarters. And again, on this issue, it's unclear to me. What is the time frame of the update every year, every quarter? So if you can clarify, please. The second question is on the NPL acquisition, broadly nil acquisition in the first quarter this year, because there are no deals on the small ticket and secure business. So after the acquisition of FPS, I'm wondering if you are thinking about the possibility to make deals also in the secure and corporate NPL business. The third question is on the cost of risk. I'm wondering if you can give us guidance on the cost of risk for the entire year, and if maybe we can consider the first quarter this year as a run rate for the entire year. Then on the PPA, it would be extremely useful if you can guide us on the reversal of the PPA that we expect at least for 2019. And finally, you mentioned some that you are going to focus on the capital management and on cost in order to improve the efficiency. So I'm wondering if you can share with us some action that you have already in mind in order to strengthen your capital base and to improve your efficiency. Thank you.
Okay. I will answer to these. In terms of model update, the effect is recurrent, but the amount is quite variable. This because, of course, we update our model every year. But this 9 million is the impact of the update of the model that we did last year. Okay, so the effect is recurrent. The amount, not. Really, is quite variable. And you see that was 3.2 million in the first quarter to up to minus 9 million in first quarter 19. Okay? Regarding the cost of risk guidance, we don't provide a guidance for the cost of risk. We would like just to say that it really depends on the evolution of the macroeconomic environment. Of course, depending on how this will go on in the coming quarters. Probably if the macro remains somehow stable, you can consider this. If the macro deteriorates further, we can have some impact. Okay, you can say that a normal level. We report 88 bips in this quarter. The average in the previous quarter normalized was between 90 100 bips. So yes, we can say about this level depending on the macro. Regarding the reversal of the PPA, we estimated 50 million in a year. But of course, this is quite variable because it depends in terms of quarters, because it depends, for example, if we decide to close some positions. And regarding to Interbanca, in that moment, we realize a greater amount or a lower amount of the PPA. Is an average, you can assume 50 million. Remember that this is pre-tax, so you have to tax it. And regarding the capital management, all the action, etc., we think about that, but probably it's better to wait to the business plan for that and to, yes. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first is again on the NPL market. If you could comment on the reasons behind the low liquidity of the secured segment in the first quarter. So this is usually quite a liquid segment. Why originators did not sell in the first quarter. And my second question is on the corporate banking segment. Looking at the revenues, if we deduct the PPA, the net banking income is slightly negative in the first quarter. So if you could clarify on this point. Thank you.
Well, I will answer about NPLs and Martino about the rest. And in the first 5 months, there were just 0.7 billion unsecured NPLs assigned in the market, so very few transactions. Banca IFIS bought about the 50% of them. Secured NPLs is not our business, and we are strong in unsecured NPLs, and we compete in that field. We have recently signed a forward flow agreement for consumer NPLs for the acquisition of about 100-150 million GBV. We have actually two binding offers for two additional portfolios with a gross book value of about 0.4 billion. In the coming months, we expect more disposal in the secondary market. Some operators will focus on specific segments posing unsecured NPLs, but our specialization is on unsecured NPLs, and we will compete in that field. For corporate bank.
Regarding the corporate banking, this is mainly due to the fair value adjustment as the item that required the 4.7 million that we discussed before was included in the corporate banking. So it is the write-off of the equity instrument stemming from the debt restructuring. Okay.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a clarification again on the NPL business. Martina, you were referring on model update. I didn't get how often you are going to make this kind of update, because if you have this kind of swing quarter by quarter, I suppose you make a sort of mark-to-market quarter by quarter. And then the second question on the strategy. We read the main shareholder Scogliera that was ready to support the bank's growth, and also said maybe there could be some development in abroad. So I would like to know the new CEO thinking on this kind of policy strategy.
Okay, I will answer to the first question. The model is updated about once a year, but the effect of the model then come up. Of course, this effect are somehow create some volatility on the quarters. But, and this is due to the fact that, for example, we had this 9 million in this quarter, but even somehow some very small adjustments can bring to the significant volatility. Then if you look on a yearly basis, I think that many of these effects are much smoother than may appear. So, I repeat again, the model is updated once a year, on average. The effects are, then the, what you see here are the effects of this updating that was done in the first and second quarter of last year. Regarding the, regarding, of course, the model, every month we have a detailed update on all the account, on all the performance of this each single cluster of the model. So that is the point.
About strategy, I can say for the moment that obviously the NPL segment still remain strategic for the bank, and as you know, it represents about the 50% of the net income of the bank. So we continue to invest in the sector, and we are looking at new portfolios, and confident to be able to buy some portfolios in the next future. For the rest, you must be patient, and you have to wait the business plan and the new business plan that we present in next few months.
And one point also about our foreign activities. We have the foreign, we have been operating on the foreign activities over the last probably 20 years. This is due in our factoring business, just to clarify. Of course, some foreign market in terms of factoring is much more profitable than the Italian market, and we can leverage on some synergies. So that's why it's our part of our core business, and we focus on that. The margin that you realize in some CE countries in factoring are much higher than the margin that you realize in Italy.
And we will invest on our foreign activities, and we'll dedicate our best skills to this activity.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered this time.
Okay, so we would like to thank you everybody for joining the call. And of course, if you have any question, you can contact us directly. And we look forward to meeting you in person in the coming months.
Thank you very much, everybody. See you soon.